Good morning. You know, I was listening to that singing a while ago, and I thought, praise the Lord. One of the men in that church back home, he calls this contemporary Christian music, you know, he calls it 7-Eleven. He said, it sings 7 words 11 times. And I guess you'll know it that way, though. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, into the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm thrilled to be here. I appreciate it. Same as coming on the way over here this morning. Of all the good preachers that you have in their country and all around, it's available, and they ask me to come. I don't know. It don't make sense. But God knows what He's doing. I got up this morning and wasn't sure that I'd be able to be here. Still may not. I don't know what God's got. But you pray that my voice might continue and I might be able to stand up until the Lord's through here. I guess if I don't, I'll fall down, the Lord's through with me. Remember a number of years ago, Brother Jerry was, I believe, still in school. And Brother Bob and them was coming. And your mom was with you then, wasn't she? They used to come to that church over there in Carlisle. I don't know whether he was on break or just what it might have been and come down and preached for us. You remember that, Brother Jerry? It's a thrill. And I'm sure that he's thrilling you Sunday after Sunday as your pastor. I tell you, in the day we're living now, our church is really blessed of God if they have a godly man who's a pastor. You know it. That's the reason you're here. And I'm sure that you've prayed and God's answered prayer. And we'll continue to do that. But I was thinking as you were singing this morning, I tell you, if a person couldn't preach after then, I don't know. There'd be something wrong, wouldn't it? But I wanted to just share with you some things here this morning from the Word of God. And can you pray that God will help me to preach? In the second chapter, that's where we want to start off from the springboard part. But over here in the fourth chapter, let's see, about verse 3. Well, verse 2 and 3. You got to already open your Bibles there. If you look, it says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I found it going around listening to different places and all. Brother Ross, we sure do have a lot of teachers. And I know a pastor, the Word of God teaches us that he should be able to teach, don't he? And if he can't teach, then I don't think he can preach. But God says that in the last days, people will want just teaching. And it seems to me that God... honest preaching. Just preaching. And that don't mean that we don't teach, does it? But it means we ought to preach too. And so you help me this morning to preach. I reading here the other day, and Brother Ross had asked me to come out this way to come over, and I was reading it, and I kept asking the Lord, well, show me something. You know what you do. I'm sure you do it as well as the preachers do, that you want the Lord to show you something new. Lester Roloff says that sometime he got up to preach, he said, now this is new, said it's fresh. I just got out the garden this morning. And the Lord showed me something here that I had just, all of you read it, but maybe you didn't notice it. I hadn't noticed it before in the second chapter there. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, this same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your blessed goodness to us, watch, care, day by day by day. Lord, how you just continually blessed us in spite of the way we act and think and do so many times. And so today, oh God, I pray for thy help, thy strength, thy unction, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might speak to me and through me, and then, Lord, that you might use it to honor our Savior. Lift up Jesus, O God, in our midst today. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul, here you'll notice he said, told Timothy, he said, be strong in the grace. Well, I guess that you could say that Paul had been strong, wouldn't you? All that he'd gone through, you know, suffering and the stripes and in the depths and stoned and in his head, they thought he was dead and he got up, went on, you know, all these things that he did. And so I think he spoke from experience. But he says here in verse 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Paul, he's telling Timothy here, he said, you preach what you heard me preach. Is that right? Yeah. Brother Jerry? Yeah. In other words, you supposed to preach what you heard your dad preach? Yeah. You know why he preached what he did? Because he read what Paul preached. Yeah. Right? This is it. Now, I believe it was Spurgeon that years ago said that if somebody's preaching something that's new, said it's a lie. It's the same old book. And it's the same old version, too. I was talking to someone the other day, and they seemed to think that maybe some of these other books that come out was a little bit more accurate than this one. And I told them, I said, well, if that's true, I said, God cheated my parents. Didn't it? They didn't know nothing about it. Okay. Anyhow, Paul said, you preach what I preach. So I think, well now, if he told Timothy to preach what he'd been preaching, what did he preach? Right? And I got thinking about that, and I said, well, what did he preach? Well, he went back there and told people, he said that to, and I'm not going to turn to all them scripture verses. Take too long. You don't want to turn to them either. But he said that in the beginning, God created a human being, didn't he? Breathed through his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he said that not only that, but he said that this man was lonely in the garden, and he seen he couldn't make it on his own, and so he put him to sleep. Made him a helpmate, didn't he? And the two of them, God performed that marriage. And it wasn't between Adam and Steve either. And it became a living soul, and it too, God performed that marriage there. And he's honored it all down through the years. And Jesus honored it too, didn't he? And the reason I'm out here was for a wedding on Wednesday anyway. And I told the people them, you know, in John 2, when he tells that Jesus and the disciples were invited to the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And I said there never should be a wedding that Jesus wasn't invited to. Don't you think so? Yeah. But Paul told about that beginning there. But you know, Adam and Eve failed, didn't they? I mean, miserably failed. Boy, I'm going to tell you what a shape they plunged the world into. Sin. We're the product of it. Yeah, we're the product of it. We have that Adamic nature, and they doubted God. You ever doubt God? We all do, don't we? And you say, "Well, I believe the Bible." Again, I remember your last roll off. You say this: "Said, don't say you believe the whole Bible; just believe what you practice." We want to believe it all, don't we? And like to practice it all, but don't always do it. But nevertheless, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. This is what Paul preached, you know. And Timothy was along with him, and he heard him. And so he got his doctrine in sound so he could preach it too. And he said that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Pretty bad sin, because one of the boys turned out pretty bad, didn't he? In fact, he's a murderer, won't he? And we're the descendants of them, and so we are capable of murder. All of everything goes along with it. And then we find on down through the Old Testament where Paul told different things that took place. But then we come on over to the New Testament. And at this time of the year, we kind of celebrate Christmas, you know, the new birth. I tell you, what a blessed time. I tell you. And Isaiah, Paul told about, you know, and I'm sure he mentioned it over and over again, where Isaiah told us, said that, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And by the way, I've seen one of these other books. It said that there, it said it was a young woman. I believe she was. Don't you believe she was a young woman? Yeah. But more than that, thank God she is a virgin. Jesus is a virgin born son of God. No, it wasn't the result of a bad relationship with some German soldier. He's God. I believe Paul told Timothy, said, you tell the people about Jesus being virgin born. Timothy's just a young fellow. By the way, you know I have a son, Timothy, for preacher too. And I tell him this, like I felt like it, maybe Timothy mentioned to Paul, he said, well, they have heard it. You know what? I think Paul said, well, tell them again. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Ain't that what the word says? And so we need to just keep on emphasizing it. Just telling it over and over and over again. I remember years ago as a young preacher, I had an evangelist with me, a man by the name of Ross Barnard. And he was getting under your skin. And he was saying, oh, my soul. And you thought, my goodness, what's going on? And he said that we just need to just keep on preaching the same old gospel. And he said people will hear and they'll hear. But he said sometimes a few of them will hear. And when they hear, they get saved. A lot of times, don't you feel like maybe you got saved the first time you heard the truth? Well, but you probably had been preached in your hearing many times. I know it was with me. And Paul just liked it. And he told Timothy, How many times you reckon in the Bible is it that Paul told about how he got saved on the road to Damascus? Just kept on telling it, didn't he? Uh-huh. And he told King Agrippa that, didn't he? And he said, oh, well, boy, he said, you almost make me a Christian. He said, I wish to God you were. And he just kept on telling these old tempests. They'll tell people how that Jesus was born of a virgin. And that day, my, in the manger there. And the wise men come. And I don't know how many it was. But it's a bunch of them. Old Herod tried to stop them. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it though, did he? And the world today is still trying to stop it, but they can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, the word says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. It's going to go on. It's going to go on. This is the result of it, isn't it? This is it, and it's going to keep on. And so Paul told Timothy, he said, the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses the same, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach also others also. You know, this ought to be, and I believe it would be, and is also here in this congregation, young men that will do the same thing. As your pastor just keeps on preaching it and telling the need. And all, you say, well, we understand it over there in China and all of these other countries over there, that the Christians are being persecuted and many of them are dying. Who wants to face that? I tell you, they've been doing it for years and years, and it's still going on. And you think, Brother Law said it would discourage people from wanting to serve the Lord. But somehow or another, it just kind of put something extra into them and said, well, I'm going to take the place. I know many of you remember years ago, back in the 50s, and that was in 1900. The people of Ecuador had missionaries that went down there and they were slaughtered. And I remember one of the men that was there, and the name slips my mind now, and his brother, I heard him, and he said that he never thought too much about being a missionary until his brother was killed there, and he said that now I'm going to see if I can take his place. It's Paul said, you tell Timothy about all these things, right? And God will bless, and he will help you. He told about how he was stoned, but especially on the road to Damascus. He had letters there, and authority from the priests and the Levites, all of these, to go and bring back captive women, children, it didn't matter who it was, as long as they proclaimed to be Christians. He said that they're going to be back, and I'm sure they were stoned or killed in some manner. And Paul said that, you know, he said that a light shone round about me. And he said that he fell to the ground and heard a voice. I guess that voice, I don't know just how it was, but Paul understood it. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. You know, he still speaks to people today. And the thing about it is we can't tell how it works. The Holy Spirit just walks up and down through the aisles and back and forth and said, I want you to speak to you. He'll do it. And the men that was with Saul, they heard, you know, they heard something. They couldn't understand what was going on at all. Right? Because God wasn't speaking to them at that time in that way. Hmm. And he said, of course, it struck him blind and all like that. I think back in the Old Testament, you remember and said that a servant of God was in a cave and said there's a terrible wind come by. Said God wasn't in it. And the storm and all of these things, but then in a still small voice, God spoke to him. I suppose Paul told him about that, can't you imagine? And I think about it. Probably told him about it in Isaiah 6. When he said, in a year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I've often thought about it. Why did he emphasize the fact that it was a year that King Uzziah died? You ever think about that? Why was it then? Why did he say it was then? Well, I don't know for sure, but I kind of think maybe it might be because the prophet had kind of got his eyes on the king, Uzziah, instead of the Lord. Maybe the Lord just killed him, king, huh? And so maybe Paul told Timothy, said, don't let no kings interfere with your worship to God. Don't let something else, don't let people think. Aren't we so prone to be disturbed about what we wonder what people think about us? Here I am up here saying that, and I'm wondering, well, now what do you think about my preaching? But we do that. That's Adamic nature we're talking about. But God says to look to Him, trust Him. Timothy, keep your eyes on the Lord, because He's the one you're serving. A number of things that I had set down, I can't read it, but I'm going to just wing it. So he said, if your hardness is a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what comes, just do what God tells you to do. Right. Then later on we find that Paul told Timothy, he said, the Lord's coming back. There's a blessed hope coming.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, there's a blessed hope. One day, he said, the skies is going to part and be a shout for the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall be raised. We which are alive shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Looking forward to it. Why? Because I believe it's near. Didn't come in 05. It may come in 06. And it may be in the first part of it. But Timothy, look for that. Because said after then, there's going to be some judgments going on. Going to be some awards issued. And then there's going to be a great white throne. Him that sat upon it, the heavens and the earth fled away. Found no place for him. And I saw the dead and stand before God. And the books were opened. How many? I don't know. But it said that then that there was another book open. Another book. Just one. All that was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And Now, I guess that's where the songwriter got to the words and the thought of, is my name written there? You know the song. A lot of them not, are they? Not there. You know, I thank God that back in September of 1952, as a young man, well, not so young then, after the Second World War, and God has spared my life through that, lost, that I heard a preaching in Montvale, Virginia. I don't know what he preached. I had a brother that was saved and asked me to go with him. And I didn't want to go. I was unsaved. But he insisted on it, and just to please my brother, I went with him. I don't know what he preached, but I know he preached the word, and it brought conviction to my soul. I went home. I didn't rest good the rest of that night. The next day we were getting up hay. That was back on this mountain farm, and we didn't have the equipment that people have us here now. We had to get it up with pitchfork. Loose hay. Worked it all day. Late in the evening, my brother said, let's go back to the revival meeting tonight. I suppose he could tell that I was no conviction, Jerry. So I went. Again, he preached. And I don't know what his subject was. I don't know whether he had 3 points or not. I don't know whether it was alliterated or not. But somewhere in your message, Brother Bob, he said, God loves you. Did you hear that? He said, God loves you. You know, Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Of all the things that's the thing that broke my heart. He said, God loves you. And you know he does. Don't he love you? Somebody out there, no doubt. You say, oh, no, preacher. No, you don't quite get it. Hey, because God couldn't love me. You don't know me. No, I don't, but God does. And God loves you. You say, well, I don't know why. I don't either. But he does. That's what he said, didn't he? That's the reason John 3:16 stands above like a mountain peak or all the rest of them, isn't it? Because God loves us. And he wants them all to be saved. He said, Timothy, tell them about it. And say, some of them won't listen at all. Or you think you don't. But they'll hear it. And you say, but Paul, they have heard you. They have heard you over and over. And I have tried to preach it the same way. And I told them that too. And he said, keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it, and God will honor it. And I believe He is still honored. Don't you? He will just keep on honoring it. Honors His Word. In fact, He said He would, didn't He? He'll honor His Word above everything else. This old book, and thank God, they can do anything they want to, try to change it, or do away with it in the schools, or in the government, or off the walls of courthouses, or anything else. But God said that it will stand through eternity. And it's going to. And God's going to honor it, and people still get saved by it. And if you're not here, God wants you saved because He loves you. Come, brother.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Folks, you heard the gospel this morning. You heard a lot of reasons why we ought to flee to Christ if we're not saved. Heard a lot of good things. Let's